Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hanging out with Lori and Julia. It's a little cloudy out there. We could see some rain later, but let's brighten up this up right now with a giveaway. What do we got, guys?
It's cloudy with a chance of Kesha.
Be
the fifth caller, 651-641-1071, and you and the date of your choice would be going to see Kesha at Mystic Lake on Sunday, November 12th. So 651-641-1071. Caller number 5.
Awesome.
And as long as we're talking about music, I thought we could just do bang a gong for travel right now. And with a good, I have a good suggestion for how to save money. Like everyone I've talked to, they're like, I'm so worried about taking a trip. Everything is so expensive. I'll just be...
All that is true.
All that is true. But Lori, the travel agent, yes. Who will just be your everyone's okay. travel agent for the moment, I would say this. First of all, if you are flexible as to where you go and you just want to go somewhere, then you go, you need to get the deals page from Sun Country emailed to every week.
Apps every Tuesday.
Delta, you can go to their deals thing and they have it like with what's coming up in the same week. I don't think they do the email like
they don't
Sun
do
Country.
The email, but you can look on their.
You can look on whoever your airline is of your preferred choice and look what the upcoming deals are. But there are some budget things that you can do. And a lady emailed me last week and I did read the email. I did get back at her and she goes, years ago, I remember you talking about you and your mom went on this wonderful trip to Memphis and then you mm-hmm. went again with Casey.
Yes.
Do you remember the name of the hotel that I stayed at?
Yes.
And, it just so happened that, USA Today came up with, between a panel of travel experts and 10 travel editors, like what is one of the best U.S. destinations on a budget? It is Memphis, Tennessee.
I love this.
And it's a historic city. Of course, it's on the river and it's, you know, we think Elvis, B.B. King, but the cost of living is lower in Memphis. So the restaurants, the bars, there's so many, there's so much competition for a hotel room and restaurants that it keeps it affordable. You don't need a car in Memphis if you can just take a Lyft or Uber or taxi or a bus out to Graceland. It's very walkable, the city, and there's so much to do that it's right downtown Memphis, the Civil Rights Museum, Sun Studios, going to the Peabody, watching the ducks, strolling along. There's a furniture store on the main street that, you know, Elvis bought all of his furniture there. The Lansky Brothers, Beale Street is right there. The river is right there. It's a small city, you know, maybe think like downtown St. Paul.
Right.
It's very, they've got carriages. Beale Street has music, you know, day and night. And there's so many places to eat and drink. It's inexpensive. And barbecue is inexpensive.
Yes, it is. And it's not, the summer, it's kind of spendy to go there.
Yeah, and it's hot there. But if you wanted to go in September,
October, is like a great month. October, it gets a little expensive again.
Yeah, but again, I'll give you another tip for a city such as this. Go Saturday to Tuesday.
Sure.
You get a better airfare on a Saturday, come back on a Tuesday, and 3 nights is perfect. And then you're only paying a premium for Saturday night. And Sunday, Monday.
I like doing this because it's less crowded. If bars and restaurants, you know, if restaurants are open on Monday, I mean, that used to be kind of a...
This is a tourist town. Everything is going.
Graceland, make sure, you know, it's open 7 days a week, I'm sure. But yeah. I really want to go there because what else?
It is, it's fun. It is just a fun place. There's something for everyone to do, and there is something to be said. It is fun to go to, and for some reason, everyone is flocking to Nashville, which has just gone sky high in prices.
And the building is going on. There's so much building going on, and there's traffic. It's not as fun.
But downtown Memphis, there are hotels everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everywhere. I mean, there are so many hotels. I like this little place called the Madison. We ended up really, I've stayed there a couple times, and it's just in a great location, and I just didn't want to pay the Peabody price. That's probably the best known. But
you have to go watch the Ducks. Because I saw them, because there's a Peabody, I think, in Orlando.
Yeah, there might be.
We watched the Ducks at once years ago, but that's just kind of a fun thing to do.
It's kind of fun, and then if you're looking for your best budget-friendly hotel brand, Red Roof, y'all, is the leader of economy hotels. They have free Wi-Fi. They got extra outlets for charging. They upgraded their rooms. They have Serta mattresses. They have upgraded linens and towels. They have flat screen TVs. So if you're looking for your budget-friendly hotel, do not forget about the old Red Roof.
You know, and that would be a destination you could go to year-round.
Memphis?
Yeah, in the winter. I mean, it would be moderate. And there's so much, like you talk about the Stag Museum, you talk about Graceland for people who have never gone. What a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean.
It's true. And if you are wanting to go international on a budget, would you be surprised to know that your most affordable destination would be Poland?
No, because who did we just find out? Well, Jess here at work went to Poland years ago, but someone I know just went there, and it's supposed to be amazing.
There's a tremendous number of things to see and do. There's natural beauty. Of course, there's remarkable museums, important historical sites like the Auschwitz Memorial Museum is a very solemn, important experience. And then there's the Crooked Forest, which I guess is just blows people away, the nature of that. And the Wieliczka Salt Mine. And it's inexpensive to go in and out of. And if you're looking for your cheapest way for a European ticket, because Europe airfares have gone sky high, you fly Iceland Air.
Yes. Reykjavik.
Fly to Reykjavik, and I would maybe get a travel agent involved. It'd be worth it just to pay them 20. But then they can look. So if you were going on to Greece or you were going on to Poland, I don't know that Iceland Air is flying to those places, but all the international country carriers of Europe fly in and out of Reykjavik.
Like Ryanair or something
Air
like that.
Greece whatever the Polish Italian. National.
Yeah.
So you might get a $79 round trip airfare out of Reykjavik to wherever you're going in Europe.
It's worth looking. No, but you know, in
Namaste.
I love
being a travel agent.
No, right now, they talked about how many people traveled over Memorial Day weekend. There's a ton of travelers right now and going off to different destinations that are off the beaten track. And waiting to go to those other big ones that you want to go to until things settle down a little bit.
Yes.
You know, I think it's I love the idea of Poland, though.
Yeah.
There's so much history.
A lot to see and do there, surprisingly. So, all right, there. Who won the tickets for Kesha?
Our winner was Lori from Shakopee. Very, very exciting. So, very
Lori
excited.
Lori from Shakopee.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm.
She said that one note, she goes, because some people say this, she was actually listening on her Alexa and still had time to call in and win the prize. So we always sometimes have issues with people in the delay, but she was actually, she's like, hey, let them know that I was on my Alexa and I still got in time for the prize.
Nice. So
that's they must be getting that matched up better.
Good. That's good. All right, listen, we'll be right back with Random Thoughts.
All right, everybody, Lori and Julia here for Furniture Manor. We absolutely love it and know you will too. Give it a try. It's like 20 minutes outside of downtown Minneapolis. It's on off of 694 on County Road 81 in Osseo. And really, the beautiful thing about it, it's a furniture store like no other furniture store in the Twin Cities area. It is such wonderful furniture that's so sittable, and if that makes sense, comfortable, I mean.
Yeah.
And we really are advocates. You need to sit in things and feel things and lay on beds.
I like to look at stuff.
Look at art, touch it, feel it. Furniture Manor has a beautiful showroom. Everybody who works there is a designer and has a design background. They don't charge you extra for that. It's just a nice thing to have to make sure that what your plans are, making sure that to scale they're going to work in your place. The pricing is amazing. You're going to love Furniture Manor. Check them out and tell them the girl sent you.
Julia's random thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is.
Okay, so, Lori, you've heard about ChatGPT, right? The AI intelligence.
Yes.
Kind of, Grant, I know you've heard about it.
I just tried playing with it this last weekend, okay. And it scares the living daylights
out of me. So I watched Grant type in something simple, and I watched in 3 seconds later how quick your computer can send you back artificial intelligence on something.
An essay, a speech, anything. You can tell it, write me the benefits of planting certain trees in Minnesota, and it will give you a 5-minute speech on the types of trees you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it.
Do you believe everything it's telling you?
It's actually updated from all of the internet sources up to 2021. So if anything has changed after
this sci-fi, I can't. My mind is exploding.
No, I just am going to tell parents and everybody beware. It is out there. It is.
But I bet, I wonder if there's a way that teachers can just say, was this an AI written report? I bet there is.
Here's how one teacher found out.
There you go.
At the bottom of the of an article that someone had put together that used AI, and it was a book report.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I did Cliff Notes.
Yes.
Yeah, but that was allowed. As long as you noted it, you were a pen.
You cite your references.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's cheating. No matter, at the end of the day, it's still cheating.
And this AI is there and it is cheating. And I'm just going to say
this is one of the big sticking points in the Writers Guild.
As it should be, Lori, because as it should be for everybody, should be concerned about it right now. Because basically what it is it's using all the information out there. And it's not using your brain. It's not creative. It's not new.
It's like trusting all the cars of the world to all of a sudden be self-driving.
Yeah, that's true. And
they don't know how to react to humans.
But this is this is people's brains. These are your kids' brains. Yeah. I would go crazy if I was a parent right now.
Well, prior to that, they had a system where you could submit all your papers as a student to this, database that it would check for plagiarism.
Mm-hmm.
Now they are working on a way to be able to check to see if this was applied by
which they
are working on. Yeah. But right now, kids, and I talked to my neighbor kid who just graduated from Hopkins High School.
Did he use this?
And he said that, all the kids do is they take it and then they change the words up a little bit, make it sound a little bit dumber. I have read articles. They are working in a way to make a database where it can pick up on,
I've avoided it.
Watermark or something.
But I watched Grant do it, and it scared the crap out of me. So I just want to tell people, just heads up on it. And here's how a kid in seventh grade got caught doing a book report on the Joy Luck Club. Remember reading that book?
What? Why? That is such a funny book. Maybe not, but I don't know. It was a great book. It was a good book.
Copied
club.
The kid.
Seems old. It seems too old for seventh grade.
Yeah, this is what it was. Okay. The kid did everything, copied word for word. The book. And at the very end, copied word for word and used the quote at the very end. As an AI language model, I don't have personal expectations or opinions. They ended it and used words like poignant.
I will say that was always the absolute worst, having to do a book report on a book you didn't like.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not for anybody banning books. I think it's always a hard thing. What book should the class read?
Yeah, because so many different.
There's so many different books that people like. And then if you had a mean teacher who was like someone who made people stand up and read in class, then you always felt bad for the kids who had trouble reading out loud. I get hives for a book report. I could be a kid. I could see how it'd be attractive.
Oh, yeah.
100%. So just a heads up.
Well, small thing to take away, just to give this up. So the Black Mirror, the creator of the Black Mirror, he's Charlie Brooker.
Yeah.
There's an article in Variety.
It's a TV show.
Yeah, Black Mirror. And there's six. It's
horrible.
Scary, but it talks about all the crazy things that can happen in this world. Well, he used ChatGPT to write an episode, and he said, quote, it was bleep and using the S word. So there was no real original thought here at all. So it's still far away from being into the Hollywood world at this point in time.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
They are still using it for taking shortcuts and doing things. And that's how they're getting away with giving writers mini room assignments so that if it does get picked up, they don't ever have to pay. I mean, they're doing it to short shrift.
Yes.
As writers. As our learners are.
Yeah.
As we would have done.
Yeah.
So just a little heads up. There's a couple different honorable mentions in the Twin Cities this week. I'm going to give one. Our first one's to Midtown Global Market.
Nice.
USA Today does a 10 best. Thing 10 best this, 10 best that, and Midtown Global Market is nominated for the 10 best public markets.
It is so true.
And if you want to vote on it, go to 10best.com, and it's Midtown Global Market right now. They're, I think, in fourth place.
Yeah,
so if you want to do that, voting is through July, but that's a great place.
Yeah,
and other best, the Oscars for cocktailing has been, we've got a Minneapolis bartender who's been nominated. Her name is Jessie Polak. She works at Spoon and Stable, which neither of us have ever been to.
I've been there.
Everyone's been there but us.
I used to work in the building it was attached to, that's why. But
we've never been.
Lori
is that right across from Bunkers, kind of?
Not kind of in that general area, but it's just in the North Loop on like 1st and 2nd Street there.
Yeah.
Back it's ridiculous.
The Lowry. Or not
But yet I don't feel bad about it one bit.
I know.
Not a bit.
But she is nominated. She is one of 10 nominees for the Spirit Awards. So if you go to the Spoon and Stable, say hi to Jessie.
Yeah, that's very
And
cool.
Last year she won the Bartender of the Year Award by the U.S. Bartender Guild. So this guy.
I told Stephanie Hansen, I said, I don't have restaurant FOMO of any kind.
That's you.
Yeah, but I don't. And she goes, oh, I have it so bad.
This is why we're in the different jobs. You're not doing cooking and food and recipes, and Stephanie March is, and so is Stephanie Hansen. This is why that's happening. Then tomorrow, there's just a ton of stuff going on.
I know you're talking. You're going very fast. Like you've
got a
checking,
whole pile.
A checklist.
We
tomorrow at the Mall of America at noon, if you have never seen the drummers who work for the Vikings doing skull.
Skull line, yeah.
They're having tryouts.
Cool.
So it would be fun to go to the Rotunda and watch it. And that's going to be tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. at the Mall of America Rotunda if you want something different to do.
That's cool.
Also, Minneapolis downtown is doing everything to get bodies back down there. So there's something on Tuesdays. Every Tuesday, there's something on every Thursday. And starting this Thursday, people who work downtown or want to go downtown, food trucks, music, games, different promotion deals, parking deals, a ton of stuff is going on.
Will there be security?
Lori, I'm going to say this. Let's see here.
Yeah.
This week in downtown Minneapolis.
I would think so, but.
I was downtown on Friday night last week, and they were had. That's
how
where
did
they,
the vibe feel?
It was actually good. It was really good because they block off between 5th and 6th Street there on 1st Avenue. Yeah. They're doing this on Friday nights now, and they had games and vendors, and there were plenty of police around, plenty of security. People were having fun. It didn't seem to be. It was cool. It was really nice.
Good.
And then even after the Twins game, it was still up and going, and people were
having
fun.
I wish the downtown council had just hired Rick Nelson, and he could have consulted on everything Nicollet Mall. I mean, he could have helped them 10 years ago so much.
Well, here's what they're doing.
Okay.
They have events every Tuesday and 30. There's a whole calendar available at Downtown Summer Campaign. I forgot where it was. Yeah, MinneapolisDowntown.com.
Okay.
So it's all there. Okay, we love getting out of town at MSP Airport Terminal 1 and 2. And here's something exciting that's just happening, just kicked off last week, MSP Reserve. So what it is, if you are flying out of Terminal 2, you can make an appointment to go through the TSA security line so you don't have to be stressed out waiting in line. And you can do that up to a week in
advance. Is it just the security line? It's not TSA?
It's TSA security at Terminal 2.
Got it.
And so what you can do is go to MSP.com. And find out more about the Terminal 2. It's called MSP Reserve. You can literally skip the line, give them the number of travelers, take a lot of stress off your plate. It's a pilot program. People are loving it.
And another way to take stress out is all the parking options available to you at MSPAirport.com. Click on parking. You can pre-book your parking. You can get a QR code. It's super easy. Save money. Go to MSPAirport.com. Hey everybody, thanks for hanging out with us. Well, Julia, we were on Drew's side yesterday.
Yes.
Because yesterday I talked to you guys about how I'm playing yesterday. I had read the New York Magazine profile of Drew Barrymore.
Right.
Where she just talked about a lot of different things, but I said the thing that's going to be get taken out of context for headline is that it could be misconstrued where it'll say Drew Barrymore wishes her mother to die. Yeah, her mother to be dead.
Stupid.
And I said, you know, because you knew right away. You go, oh yeah, she wants her mom to be dead. I'm like, no, if you, and then I kind of explained to you that she had done this panel with Jen, McCurdy.
She was I'm glad my mom died. She was an actress. I mean, some people have really toxic relationships, but Drew didn't say that.
No, and the two women she was talking to, both their mothers had passed away. Anyway, so Drew Barrymore, of course, and I'm telling you guys, it is a delightful, delightful reading. The biggest thing that I loved finding out about is how her show basically doubled
because of two viral videos
on Instagram. One where she's just laughing and walking in the rain, just being Drew Barrymore, just like you think she is. And another one where she discovers a secret window doing a renovation in her New York brownstone.
Maybe we can find, remember the story on the little doors?
Yeah.
The lady in the Atlantic did the little doors.
It was just an organic thing.
She's so cute.
And then she just, like, her social media, they just included Drew Barrymore. So it was like a whole bunch of people hadn't realized that she had a talk show. And Drew Barrymore is one of these people where you're like, the way she is the way she is.
100%. 100%.
So she took to Instagram late yesterday or afternoon or evening after this New York Magazine thing had published, and then tabloids, TMZ, Daily Mail, Page Six, were like, Drew Barrymore wishes her mother was dead. So here's Drew just going to Instagram and just clarifying.
Yeah.
You know what? To all you tabloids out there, you have been my life since I was 13 years old. I have never said that I wish my mother was dead. How dare you put those words in my mouth? I have been vulnerable and tried to figure out a very difficult, painful relationship while admitting it is difficult to do while a parent is alive. And that for those of us who have to figure that out in real time, cannot wait, as in they cannot wait for the time, not that the parent is dead. Don't twist my words around or ever say that I wish my mother was dead. I have never said that. I never would. In fact, I go on to say that I wish that I never have to live an existence where I would wish that on someone, because that is sick.
So she was pissed. And if you had read that whole thing, and I knew right away when I saw that headline, I'm like, I got to read this whole thing. And I had time.
Yes.
You know, to read the whole thing. But that is, you know, that's what people are looking for. And I think it's interesting, you know, she's like, since I was 13, she's been in the headlines. And, you know,
even before that, really.
No,
that was when she went through the drug and alcohol rehabs.
Yeah. Well, she was a child star, and her mother would take her to parties at Studio 54. And by age 12, she went into rehab. And by age 14, she emancipated herself from her mother and her father. Because her father, John Barrymore, was, I mean, in a 2021 interview with Howard Stern, she said, she told him, maybe treatment, I think at that age, was the best thing to happen to me in a sick way because it cooled me out. My mother created a monster, and then she didn't know what to do with that little monster that she'd turned on to cocaine and alcohol and also using her daughter as a way to get men.
Isn't that gross?
You know, and money and everything else. It was just so, and she said, you know, her mom has a limited relationship with Drew's kids. She supports her financially. And she said, she also, in the same interview, she found empathy for her father, John. He died of multiple myeloma and she paid for his hospice care. And she said, I just understood what an incapable human being he was.
Yeah.
And she said, it must be hard for my mom because my dad got all this sympathy and my mom gets a lot of hate. She got the heartache and he gets the free pass.
Right. And he's dead. For like 20 years, like 2004 or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, and you know, and at the same time, you know, Harry took the stand today across the pond.
Can we, I have one more thing on Drew.
Thank you.
Before you do that, can I tell you one more thing on Drew? She also talked about, you know, why she's not open up. She's not open to be in another relationship.
Oh, yeah, because she spent her whole life in romance and drama. Yep. She could never, she bounced from guy to guy. She did not like to be alone. And I distinctly remember this after I disastrously married for a second time. And I just had, I looked back and it was just broken heart affairs. I mean, I had nothing. I had so much romance drama in my life. It was just, it was kind of incredible. I was kind of impressed with myself and sick of myself at the same time, if you know what I mean. And I remember having this, and I had gone to therapy and I was like 34. And I remember, I am going to date myself. I am going to just be married to me. I am going to not have any men in my life. Maybe I'll kiss somebody, but I am going to date me.
Yeah.
And I did that for like a year.
Okay.
And I just, you know, I kissed.
People do that.
I was a kissing bandit, Grant, but I did not get any oxytocin flowing by having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And then I liked somebody more than they might deserve to be liked because I couldn't be trusted, obviously. Mm-hmm. I was a romance drama warrior.
And that's what she basically said.
Yeah, so that back is. To I
spent
that.
A lot of my life loving romance and drama and all that. Mm-hmm. And I just burnt myself out on it. And I'm exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she might be getting close to getting. I mean, she's got two young children. She lives in New York City. And she's got a full-time talk show, you know, daytime talk show.
You
she's
know,
got a lot.
Yeah. And I think it probably broke her heart.
What happened?
That she and Will.
What happened to that marriage? Did she talk about that at all?
No. No, because he's the father of her daughters, and she's on very good terms with him,
his
new
wife. Yeah,
and
of course.
So it all, maybe it was she realized that, you know, she married him to be the father of her children, and she it wasn't really...
More than that.
More
I
than that.
I kind of got that feeling a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think there was any cheating or anything like that. I just think that they drifted into parent roommates.
Oh.
Yep.
You know,
that happens a lot.
I actually,
that happens a lot.
I had a good friend in high school that had parents like that.
Yeah. So anyway, Drew, we love you.
Yeah. Oh,
we love you. And I love
always.
That she did that. And I love, you know, because her doing that, I mean, with Harry testifying, you know, in court today, he's giving a testimony against the Mirror Group newspapers, which is the Sun, I think, in the Mirror. He's also
and the Daily Mail.
Well, he's also suing the Sun and the Daily Mail. Those are two other entities.
He's really,
he's taking on the British tabloid media. And it is so, it's a huge story because in the UK, the way it's covered, which is by the tabloids.
That he's suing. Yeah.
Is so horrible. And Page Six, which Rupert Murdoch owns, is all very anti-Harry and everything else. But I think it was the London
Guardian.
The Guardian or the one of the other ones that's not a tabloid. 7 out of 10 Britons believe that Harry was hacked and are on Harry's side when it comes to this. And there is a kind of a disbelief that Buckingham Palace is so protective
of the newspapers.
Of the racist.
Of the newspapers.
The newspapers that trash their whole family.
They trash everyone. It's interesting. I read a lot more about this today. And really, all the negative coverage is coming from the papers that he's suing.
And it's also why a lot of people have switched. At first, you know, they were like, they hated Harry and Meghan, and people believe, because this, when you paint the narrative over and over that something is true, what do you just have to say a lie 3 times before it becomes true? We see that in their Netflix thing. He's just like, but when those came out and when Spare came out, people then felt differently. It's like, yeah, you're right. Harry, you're just taking on something that is a troubled institution.
I'm curious why the New York Times is going after him.
I don't know why they're carrying the water.
Because they're really going after him too. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest. I have Harry and Meghan burnout.
Yeah.
But I think what he's doing is admirable on this case, because the damaging headlines that he's had his entire life, and when you read more about it, there's over 100 people involved in this class action lawsuit. It's soccer players. It's all the people that they did phone tapping and all this stuff on. It's not just Harry. He's the face of it. But I will say this. He is standing up for something that's right. And I think he's courageous in doing this. I still have the Harry and Meghan burnout. But he is standing up for something that is right. I still disagree what he wrote about his brother in the book, because I think that is damaging.
I will just say this. You know, William, one of the things we found out in this, the depositions that happened prior to this, is that William accepted millions of dollars in a secret settlement from Rupert Murdoch from the Daily Mail, because they hacked his phone and Buckingham Palace threatened them, but they kept it secret.
But what's the difference? I mean,
what I'm saying is that they already know how they corrupt
do. Okay,
they are.
They do.
So William accepts the secret, maybe
years
it's 10
ago.
But it doesn't matter. It's still
he doesn't want to stand up for his brother right now because he can't stand him, Laurie.
Okay, but it's telling in and of itself that the Buckingham Palace makes a secret deal with Murdoch for William to get paid for his phone getting hacked as long as they don't say anything about it. Then they can go back to doing tit for tat. It is the most incestuous relationship. It's like, what do they really have on the crown? These tabloids. What do they have that Buckingham Palace is so...
It's extremely interesting, but I will say Buckingham Palace obviously does not care much about William and Meghan. I mean, Harry and Meghan now. They didn't acknowledge Lilibet, their daughter's second birthday, on any of their socials.
Petty as hell.
So, but again, Harry is doing something courageous and admirable.
I don't know why the New York Times is carrying water for this alliance between Buckingham Palace.
I don't get it.
And these tabloids. It's very, very...
It's going to be an interesting thing to see where it all shakes out.
He called the UK government that they're rock bottom, and that Diana's butler, Paul Burrell, is a two-faced bleep, and that the stories about James Hewitt being his father...
Must have been damaging. They were in every headline. We read those forever. We read them in People, too,
Laurie. He worried because he was a kid. I mean, he was like, I don't know.
And he didn't look like his brother or his dad.
Even though there's red hair
or his mom
in the Spencer family, he thought he'd be thrown out of the royal family.
Because, Grant, I don't know if you remember this. He grew up, there were all these headlines that James Hewitt, he was a horse trainer, wasn't he?
Security.
Oh, security was his father.
Because
so
he had
these
red
are the headlines
hair,
all of his life.
And James Hewitt and Princess Diana, they had an acknowledged
dalliance.
Affair, but the timeline never worked. And whenever we would talk about it, I would say, but James Hewitt is gone. There's no way he can be
the father.
Baby, because he's not even working for her in the right time frame.
But it really was, I could see as a child how damaging that would be to have all these headlines, because you don't look like anyone else in your family.
Yeah.
In the close family, thinking, gosh, is it my dad?
Anyway, and then also that the Buckingham, basically the Windsors, that it'd be too expensive to sue. That's been the other excuse that's kind of come out. The Windsors, hello.
But good for Harry right now.
I know. Good
yeah,
for
good
Harry.
On Harry. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, it's time to Hollywood speak.
Okay, shots are being fired in the Taylor Swift, Matt Healy. Well, nothing from Maddie Healy, but sources close to Taylor say, quote unquote, she was just letting off steam.
I love that.
With Maddie and, quote unquote, will not be writing albums about this one.
Love we'll it. See.
I would know. I would hope not.
No. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just a... I think it was a friends with benefits type of yeah, situation. It was fun. Never going anywhere.
She had fun. They had the hots for each other for a month.
She's out. But what I love this, everyone who really knows her has been saying all along, this was just a fun, good time thing that would last as long as it lasts and would be no big deal once it was done. It's also stupid. She will not be writing albums about this one. Does everyone have amnesia about Tom Hiddleston?
Oh, no, that one, we don't. Because no. I heart T. Swift, Tom Hiddleston wore on a tank.
I know.
We do that, not have amnesia about that one.
No, we don't. Thank you.
We don't. But the other line in here, Lori,
mm-hmm.
You said this already, but I'm just going to repeat it.
Letting off steam?
Yeah.
Not be right. No. Letting off steam? No. It's such a visual.
This is a new one. Mm-hmm. It's not a breakup. It's a natural evolution of a fun little thing whose moment is over.
Yeah. They just were boinking until they weren't.
They didn't. So,
and they probably, like, you know, they knew it was going to be, maybe they didn't even put a name to it. Maybe everything Taylor Swift does has to get a name put to it. I'd hate to, she'd be a hard spotlight to be in.
I was going to say, to date her would be rough.
Well, that's because like, just the minute you're seen with someone,
that's like Madonna, that's like Beyonce, that's like all these Cher.
But you know,
with her,
she's had a lot. Okay, Anthony Hopkins spoke with the New Yorker as a part of a wide ranging piece on the Marvel Cinematic Universe. First of all, he said it's swallowing Hollywood whole.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
And I love it.
Is that true?
100%.
Everything is.
I mean, that's why we don't see great movies like we saw throughout the 90s and early 2000s, where like Grumpy Old Men, for example.
She just saw it.
I watched it last night.
Nice. Yes. But now with all these
good.
Yeah. But
wasn't that a cute movie?
Loved it. And we both just sat there and smiled when it was over.
Same.
And this was such a nice feel-good movie.
Probably $30 million to make. That's what movies were. Now that these $200 million box office movies that they're really not. I mean, they're acting in a green room essentially.
Well, I guess you know then that's a good thing for the streaming because if they can make a deal and maybe they can make a movie for $10 million or whatever they made Jerry and Marge.
Yeah, the streaming services. Yeah, but it's definitely
Here's the other thing he said because he played Odin in the three Thor movies.
Yes. He was the father of Thor.
Yes. And I just thought everyone knew that Odin was the father of Thor. But yes, no, they wouldn't.
No, they wouldn't.
Yep. Here's what he said. They put me in armor. They shoved a beard on me.
Yeah.
Sit on the throne. Shout a bit. If you're sitting in front of a green screen, it's pointless acting it.
Did I not just say you're sitting in a room with a green screen acting? That's the thing is like when you go watch how beautiful these things are on the big screen and then you go watch how they're made.
Yeah.
It
seems like it's good acting if you can make it seem believable, but he calls it pointless acting. He does not like it, keeps returning.
Martin Scorsese, a lot of people are in this belief. Now, I, as a fan
does he keep doing it?
Because of paycheck. See? And residuals, money talks. Those Thor movies get played constantly on Saturday afternoons, and every time they play, he's getting paid.
Yeah, okay, all right. Yep. He just doesn't enjoy it. No. Thanks for sharing, Anthony.
I wouldn't either.
Deborah Messing spoke at the Paley Center for Media at an event on Monday night, and she had a great story she shared with everybody. She said the very first sitting, they had the chicken cutlets. To make my chest bigger.
The first sitting for what? Will and Grace. Okay.
Oh.
I just wasn't a fan of like the whole idea of it. I was like, you know what? I don't need that. And they're like, well, it's the president of the network. If he wants it, then he thinks you should have bigger boobs. And she said, if he wants it, he needs to come here and tell me to my face.
I love that.
She didn't name the guy, but a little detecting. Warren Littlefield was at the head of NBC in 1998. I'll tell you what, Julia. When I did To Tell the Truth, And I did the costume fitting, and you have to bring your own clothes when you're on the game show.
She was on it.
For the nipples. For the nipple enhancers.
To figure out what is she here for?
And I went there in October. I went like 3 weeks after 9/11. I was like one of five people on this plane to LA. I was terrified. But the game show was calling me, Julia. But I remember.
We had a chance to. We won money.
Yeah. But I brought my good padded bra because I knew about being on TV and that I could use more silhouette. And I remember the costume guy looked at me and he goes, can you put another, if I find you another padded bra, can you put that on? And then can we put in the chicken cutlets? Because the other two women that were also going to pretend to be Lori Bergini and Is It Cold in Here? Is It Just Me? Mm-hmm. Had gigantic Hollywood boobs.
Mm-hmm, which they did.
So in that clip of me on To Tell the Truth, I really look quite, you know,
busty.
Mm-hmm. To say, no, it's too. I didn't resist like you, Deborah Messing. I was like, this wardrobe guy tells me I need better boobs on the game show. And John O'Hurley at the end of the episode opened his shirt and had a nipple glued in the middle of his chest hair on, you know, so it looked like he had three nipples across. I'll always be fond of him for that. Anyway, so yeah, Deborah, but remember the funny episode with the water bra?
Oh, yeah.
The Will and Grace, it goes off at the art gallery.
Do you just remember how many funny bras were invented? The water bra, the nippleless bra, the demi cup bra, the this bra. Now there's, I just saw on Instagram, there's a small boob bra.
Oh, yeah, that's the pullover bra, yeah. Julie, that I'm a fan of. Mm-hmm. Love a bra you can pull over your head that you don't have to snap and hook. That's true. Okay, Julia, make of this what you will. The going out top is dead. Long live the fun pant.
Okay.
Is the going out top dead? Just because someone said it was? I feel like that's a phrase.
A going out top? Long live the fun pant?
The fun. Now it's all about a fun pant, apparently.
Oh, no. No. That's because people are sick of the high-waisted mom jeans that have been in fashion for so many years, for the past 5 years.
Okay.
Those ugly, ugly jeans that we missed that silhouette because we had already done it.
We already done it? I already saw my beautiful 20-something-year-old body in mom jeans.
And now they're putting them.
Oh, they're terrible.
Maybe the fun pant is where the waistband is, like, around the belly button or below it again.
Well, I think it might be a pattern or like a.
I don't care.
Yeah, I would. Going out tops will never be dead.
No.
Okay.
I could use one though. I had a wardrobe disaster on Saturday. I just couldn't find any clothes in my closet.
You know what that means? It means you haven't shopped. You haven't shopped, and
forever.
You probably need to go through your closet and get rid of some stuff.
I do. I haven't shopped forever. I really had a crisis. I wore something that didn't even match.
Hey, Jean, ever Eve.
I know. It's such a crisis. It was scary. Oh, my gosh. All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Lori and Julia. Rocco's going to join us for some trivia fun.